Hi, it's Pete Norstead here, and welcome for the final time this season to the Trade on Sports and Focused on Football Premier League betting podcast. As usual, I'm joined by Jimmy Kempton. How are you doing, Jimmy?
Wonderful, thank you, Pete. I think, is this the end of our 10th season together?
Yes, something like that, isn't it? Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun. And yeah, it's been I think with the World Cup, it's felt like a very long season, this one. But we've still got 1 week to go.
Yes. We were speaking pre-recording this, and you've noticed something interesting, Jimmy, which I didn't really notice, to be quite honest. I wasn't looking in that direction, but
no, I was genuinely racking my brains to think of a Premier League weekend where we've ever seen a line, even the final few games of the season, the goal lines where none of them are 2.5 goals or fewer. And I've run a few stats. So every goal line this weekend, folks, is 2.75 or higher. Now, season long, 52% of games go over 2.5 goals. So I run the stats on the final home game for teams, whether that be game week 37 or 38, to see whether there is any natural tendency for more goals to be seen. Goals. Final home games of the season, only 54% of games go over 2.5 goals. So that's something to bear in mind. We always have this sort of feeling of teams on the beach and not really caring. That the longer term stats don't suggest that there's too much of an uptick in goals. But as we always know, Pete, betting last game of the season is a little bit of a minefield, isn't it, mate?
Yes, yeah. Yes, as we always say, just because a team has to win or whatever doesn't mean to say they will win. And I would say the unders is value here. There's no question about that. No question.
No question at all. But it's probably a case of picking and choosing your games and your spots rather than blindly going in on the unders on all of them.
Yes. Right, let's start then with Arsenal-Wolves. What we'll do, we'll have a quick, you know, after we've done the game, a quick sort of thing on both sides. Arsenal, Wolves, a -1.5 goal handicap here. Recent heads, it's been fairly even. Arsenal have won 1, Wolves 1-1. There's been 2 draws. When -1.5 goals at home, Arsenal's record is good. 1-9 drawn, 1 lost, 0. 6-9 by 2 or more goals. Coming from the 1-0 defeat away at Forest there, we did sort of, you know, think that, you know, we both said Forest plus 1 goal was a good bet there. Wolves, +1.5 goals, 1-1 draw, 0 lost, 2. Both the 2 defeats were by 2 or more goals. Come for 1-0 draw at home to Everton. 2 or less goals have been seen in Wolves' last 3 matches. So, you know, with goals 3.25 here. -1.5, 168, 79 home, 89 away. My rating suggested some value Wolves, but I can see Arsenal putting on a bit of a show for the fans on the last game of the season. Season-wise, I think Arsenal have done extremely well and Wolves disappointing, I would say.
Well, I suppose for Wolves, especially, Pete, it's a season of 2 halves. They started like a side that were set to go down, and then with the appointment of a new manager, they've had a bit of a revival. And I actually think -1.5 goals, I wouldn't be touching Arsenal with the barge pole. And yes, they could, you know, put a show on for their fans on the final day of the season, but they're probably playing a Wolves side that are going to go to the Emirates playing without any care, any freedom. And as I said last week, a lot of these Arsenal players, or some of the Arsenal players, will probably sense that their tenure in the starting lineup or within the squad is coming to an end in terms of being consistent mainstays, because you would expect Stan Kroenke, with the Champions League money, to invest some money. Who knows whether he will or not. But Arsenal are really going to have to bolster their squad, Pete, for next season. In many ways, I like an Arsenal season this year to that Leicester season, when Leicester managed to win the league. Arsenal haven't been able to. Admittedly, they've got a better squad of players than that Leicester side. But we all know the rigours of a Champions League campaign and what that brings. And I think Arsenal will look back in time and really kick themselves for letting the Premier League slip through their fingers here. And I sense the value is with Wolves, Pete, but like you, I can't take it.
Aston Villa, Brighton, next. Now, Aston Villa obviously could qualify for this Europa Conference League here. The Lions minus a quarter. Recent head-to-heads, Villa have won 2, Brighton have won 1. But minus a quarter of a goal, Villa's record at home is quite good, actually. 1-8, draw, 0, lost 2, come for 1-0, draw away at Liverpool. Brighton, when they're plus a quarter, 1-3, drawn 4, lost 3. That's, again, a good record there. Coming off a 1-0 draw against Man City in an entertaining match there. 2 or less goals, again, has been seen in 5 of Villa's last 6. Minus a quarter goal, 560 matches, 233 home, 170 a half losses, 157 losses. So 2-3-3 plays 2-4-2. I don't see any value in the line. This, I think this could be one of those tighter games. I could just see Villa possibly winning this, but I think they'll want to get into that Europa Conference League.
Definitely. And we know that Brighton has secured European football for next season, no matter what happens. In this game, they finished 6th in the table, and that's an incredible achievement for them. And when this line opened, minus a half, I was kind of really keen on taking Brighton here, because nothing so far this season suggests to me that they would have completely tossed the game off at Villa Park, despite sort of achieving 6th spot. But now it's moved to Villa minus a quarter. I kind of agree with you, Peter, because Villa do have something to play for. They've won the last 3 meetings of the sides, and they won at the Amex 2-1 earlier this season. Villa Park is a loud, noisy place to go at the best of times. If they really want to get this Europa spot, and nothing that I've read or seen suggests that they don't want to get European football, despite the, you know, pressures that it places on the squad, minus a quarter on the final game of the season, I don't think that's the worst value around. And as you say as well, I do think this could be one of those tighter games, because it's one of the few games with anything really to play for.
Another game with something to play for, Brentford versus Man City. Brentford could, I mean, say, for example, if we take Tottenham out of the equation, which we'll get to them, you know, if Aston Villa draw and Brentford win, then Brentford finish above Aston Villa in the table. So Brentford, Man City, plus half a goal. The Lions move from plus 3/4. City won the game last season. When plus half a goal, Brentford's record reads 1-2, drawn 2, lost 2, come off the 3-1 victory away at Spurs. Man City, when they're plus half a goal, this is a strange record. 1-1, drawn 1, lost 4. What coming off a 1-0 draw away at Brighton. Man City undefeated in 16. Good value, Man City here at my race, is suggesting. Plus half a goal, 129 matches, 67 home, 62 away. You know, season ending, Brentford excellent. You know, another excellent season for Brentford. And Manchester City, you know, need we say any more. This is an interesting game, though, isn't it?
It certainly is. And I didn't really actually say what I thought about Villa and Brighton. So very quickly, Villa, excellent recovery under Unai Emery. Everything's looking up for them. And similarly with Brighton, incredible what Roberto.
Yeah, yes, we did forget to say that, didn't we?
Yeah. Incredible what's happened down at the Amex. And I think good things are on the at Villa Park.
Yes, I totally agree with everything there.
So Brentford, Man City. So what's interesting to me here is that I appreciate that the title's wrapped up for City. They may not put their full side out, full exertions into the game, but the reality of the matter is they win 71% of their away games in Premier League action. And you referenced that 6-game sample size, Pete, where they've been half a goal favourites and they've won 1, drawn 1, lost 4. It's a small sample size. I'd also be interested to know the calibre of opposition in those spots. I would imagine they would be top 6, consistent top 6 finishing teams they've been priced at that level against. That's not who they're travelling to this weekend. Yes, Brentford, very well organised, very disciplined, very good, well-run club. But they're not Man United and they're not Arsenal. So now that line has trended down from 3/4 to a half. Yes, Brentford have something to play for, but there's going to be quite a few things go in their favour for them to get into that, you know, European spot. I just think City are a good bet anytime you can get them minus a half, Pete, to be honest, no matter who they're playing, any occasion, you know, even the fringe players have got so much to play for City. It will almost, I would imagine this won't be a hostile environment. That Brentford Community Stadium can be for certain games, but this is going to be another one of those final games of the season. Delighted, you know, in terms of what Brentford have done, because once again, to finish in the top half of the Premier League is an outstanding achievement for them. Will it be intimidating for City? No, I don't think it will. And as for City themselves, well, best team we've ever seen, really. I think incredible what Guardiola's done. Don't get me wrong, he's had the resources to do it, but we've always seen, well, look at Chelsea. Just having a lot of money doesn't mean you can win titles, does it?
No, I mean, talking of Chelsea next, I mean, there's two ways you can price this. You can price this off scratch or Chelsea plus a quarter goal. Here against Newcastle, who've obviously qualified for the Champions League. Recent head-to-heads, Chelsea have won 6. There's been no draws. Newcastle 1-0. And indeed, Chelsea have not have won their last 10 against Newcastle in all competitions. Chelsea, though, this is just strange how this is landed. Chelsea, when they're off scratch, though, at home at Stamford Bridge, 1-0, draw 0, lost 5, coming off a 4-1 defeat away at Manchester United. Newcastle, when they're off scratch, not great away either. 1-1, draw 0, lost 3, come off a 0-0, draw at home to Leicester. Scratch, 250, 84 home, 79 push, 87 away. So it's 84 plays, 87. My rating suggesting good value Chelsea. I don't really see that, to be quite honest. I think it will be more like what Chelsea are when they're off scratch and they've lost their last 5. Nothing to say about it, really. Chelsea, very, 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 very poor. Newcastle, an excellent season. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how Newcastle go in the Champions League next year. But they'll obviously have some good recruitment, I would say.
Certainly. Recent meetings of the sides just show how these two clubs are evolving. As after winning 4 straight, Chelsea lost when the teams met at St James's Park last time out earlier this season. And that kind of shows the direction that these two clubs are going in. And a few mates and I were having a chat last night. And I think it kind of dawned on me last night just how garbage Chelsea have become. They're very poor. I mean, there were elements within that game at Old Trafford last night where they did well. And they got into good opportunities. And whether it's a complete lack of confidence in some of their bigger named players, they're just terrible. And you think a new manager coming in will bring more organisation in and try and bring those players sort of back to confidence. But I think some of them are so shot already in a Chelsea shirt, they might have to have a clear out again. And if we're talking about bad organisation in terms of Chelsea, then the benchmark of how to turn a club around and get a club and a team and a set of players organised is Eddie Howe. Incredible, because when you look at it, people are, I've seen a few things about sort of, you know, Newcastle since the money has come in, they've turned it round. Well, that's kind of true, because, you know, the money's come in, you know, the owners and that. But anyhow, haven't really had much money to spend, has he, Pete?
No. They're not throwing it, are they?
No, and he's done it through shrewd acquisitions, spending money well and getting the best out of players who are already at the club. I think, I sense there's going to be another big turnaround of players at Chelsea. And for Newcastle, it's going to be a gradual acquisition of better players, building the club like it should be done gradually and slowly, rather than just chucking a bucket full of oil money at it. So on this line of scratch, I have to say, I fancy Newcastle, Pete.
Next up, we've got Palace against Forest, -3/4. I was a little bit surprised to see that line. Palace, when they're -3/4, 1-6, drawn 1, lost 3, 5 of the 6 were by 2 or more goals. Cut off a good 2-0 draw away at Fulham. Forest, when they're +3/4, they've played 5 matches, lost all 5, 2 of the 5 by 2 or more goals, coming off a 1-0 victory at home to Arsenal. Excellent win, that's kept them up effectively. Palace have been, although they haven't met in the Premier League, you know, at Palace, obviously, Palace have been a bit of a bogey side, and they've only, for Forest, and they've only lost just one of their last 11 against Forest. -3/4, 214 matches, 68 home, 65 half wins, 81 losses, 100 which basically equates to 100 plays 81. Small value Forest. I wouldn't play this game at all. I think, though, looking at both sides, Palace have had a reasonable season. I mean, we were writing them off a couple of months ago. Now they're mid-table, you know, safety really, and Forest are excellent. They've really fought hard, and I think it summed it up in that victory against Arsenal that they played very well.
Fully agreed, and in some ways, I don't understand Palace being such strong favourites on home soil. But that said, when you're hosting a Forest side that have gone 1-4-13 away from home and have scored just 10 goals in their 18 away games, they're making a journey down to London on a lovely summer's weekend, bank holiday weekend, with literally nothing to play for. They celebrated like crazy by beating Arsenal, fully deserved, because what they've done is an incredible achievement to stay up in the Premier League in their first season. You have to think that you will see a deflated Forest performance. And if you factor into the equation that this could maybe, once again, be Roy Hodgson's last game in charge of Palace, and I wrote Roy off when he took over, I thought it was going to be a horrific appointment, but somehow he's galvanised the set of players, and not only have they got good results, they've played attacking football, they've scored lots of goals since he returned. If you'd have said to me, Pete, when Roy took over, they were going to finish more than likely 11th and above Chelsea, I would have asked what you were smoking.
Yeah.
Because they looked a side that were doomed, and he's turned it around. It's incredible. Even on this three quarters of a goal line, Pete, if you forced me to back one of these two teams, I think it would be the home team, because I potentially see a complete no-show from Forest in this game. And who can blame them, really, given the season they've had? That they deserve, you know, an early summer holiday, Forest. So, yeah, it's Palace or pass for me.
Here we have, obviously, a vital game. Everton against Bournemouth.
What you're going to say already, Pete, on this one, but fire away, mate.
-1.25. Recent head-to-heads, Everton have 1-4, Bournemouth have 1-1. Everton, when they're -1.25, 1-2, draw, 0, loss, 1. One of the two victories were by two or more goals. Come off a 1-0 draw away at Wolves. And I think that was a vital point there for Everton, really. Bournemouth away when they're +1.25. Not a bad record. 1-2, draw, 1-loss, 3. Only one of the three defeats were by two or more goals. Come off a 1-0 defeat at home to Manchester United. Everton, they've only won one of their last 10. Terrible form, really. And Bournemouth, you know, that since they've sort of, you know, got their solidified their Premiership place, they've lost their last three. -1.25, 90 matches, 40 times the home side are covered, 22 half losses, 28 losses, so 40 plays 39. Very close there. Very, very good value, Bournemouth here, my rating suggesting. We did have a Twitter from one of our listeners who suggests Everton to win and not concede. Yeah, I think Bournemouth +1.25 is excellent value. I think really, you know, Everton really just only need to draw this game. Even if the other two win, I can't see them overtaking by goals. But I think season-wise, Everton have been poor. Bournemouth, I think, possibly one of the clubs of the season. I can remember seeing Bournemouth play Peterborough last season, and it was a dull 0-0 draw, and how they've gone into the Premier League and done this is miraculous, in my opinion.
Yeah, they've been incredible. And this, Pete, to me, is one of the most ridiculous lines I've ever seen in the history of the Premier League. It's factored into the bookmakers' pricing here that Everton need to win the game. The mathematical reality is they don't have to win this game. It would be good if they could. It may only take 1 point, or depending on other results, they could lose this game and still retain the Premier League status for another season. But they only have to match Leicester and Leeds' results. And depending on how they do, they could even do slightly worse than those two clubs and still stay up. And Bournemouth have won the last three meetings of these two teams. They've won four of the seven Premier League meetings in recent seasons. When the sides met earlier this season on the South Coast, they emerged 3-0 victors. So to see such a... I don't really have a problem with Everton being minus one, Pete, in this game, given the need. And we've always seen the Goodison Park faithful get behind the teams. But 1.5, it just seems really, really steep to me. In a game where we know Sean Dyche is, you know, a relatively natural, cautious coach anyway. So I can't really see them throwing the kitchen sink at Bournemouth early. I just think it's... I think all the value's with Bournemouth, Pete. And I think I'm going to have to take them. I'm going to regret it more than likely. You know, because I sense that Everton will possibly win this game. But just the line value for me is just too great to dismiss.
Yes, I think this could be a tighter game. So under two and three quarters as well could come into play, couldn't it, as well?
Definitely. Nothing we've seen this season from this group of Bournemouth players suggests to me they're just going to rock up and just toss it off. And I know they've conceded 70 goals this season, but what have we always said about Bournemouth? They really play competitively to their handicap. No matter who they're playing, they very rarely get smashed on the handicap line. They're a very reliable side. Might not be very good, but when you invest your hard-earned cash in betting on Bournemouth, you get a real good run for your money, no matter what the occasion.
Leeds Spurs next. Obviously, this is going to be, you know, another big game here. Leeds have to win. Recent head-to-heads: Leeds have won 1, Spurs have won 1. When plus a quarter goal. Leeds record reads 1-0, drawn 1, lost 1, come off a 3-1 defeat away at West Ham. Spurs, when they're minus a quarter, good record. 1-6, drawn 3, lost 1, come off a 3-1 defeat home to Brentford. Three or more goals have been seen in 11 of Leeds' last 12 and in 7 of Spurs' last 8. So goals are in this game by looks at. Plus a quarter goal, 310, 93 home, 80... for half win, 133 losses. So that's 135 plays, 133. So very even there. Good value Spurs. My ratings are suggesting, I think, well, I don't really know what's going to happen in this game. I'm not sure Spurs are interested in that, the Europa. I just think they want this season over with. And, it, you know, losing 3-1 at home to Brentford last week is poor. I think both teams, to sum up, both teams have had a very poor season by their, you know, relative terms. Leeds will go down. I think they deserve to go down as well.
Yeah, I'm just going to quickly backtrack. Everton, dreadful season. Somehow managed to compile a relatively terrible squad of players for a club of that stature. Bournemouth, as we said as well, incredible season from them. Moving on to this game. Well, I kind of, in a way, Pete, I know Spurs want this season to finish, and they were terrible last week at Brentford. They are the kind of team to go away to Leeds, a team that have conceded the most goals in the Premier League. And if it doesn't go well for Leeds early, I can see Spurs winning this game 4-0. Leeds concede goals like water. And if they go behind and results aren't going their way, Spurs are your stereotypical flat track bullies. They've won 4 of the 5 Premier League meetings of the sides in recent season. In 4 of those 5 games, Spurs have scored at least 2 goals. Over 2.5 goals has gone 5-0. Over 3.5 goals has gone 4-1. And the goal line has trended up a quarter of a goal from its open of 3. That said, Elland Road is a hostile environment when Leeds are playing well. So they've got to start the game on the front foot and start it well. So on the plus quarter of a goal line, I do kind of sense you've got to trust Leeds if you want to bet this game, receiving a start, that they can start the game well and the crowd can get into it. But it wouldn't surprise me if they don't start well, if Spurs run out very comfortable winners. Because you often see these sorts of results, and we'll probably get onto the Southampton-Liverpool game in a minute, where teams, if they know they're down and they're playing against, you know, good opposition, the better side could run riot, and by midway through the second half, you've got an empty stadium or half-empty stadium. So, yeah, really tricky game to call this, Pete. I think it could either be a narrow Leeds win or a comfortable Spurs victory. And I can't really make up my mind at this point which one I think it's going to be.
Leicester, West Ham next. Recent head-to-heads, Leicester have won two. There's been three draws. West Ham have won two. Minus a half a goal here. Leicester went minus half a goal. 1-4, drawn three, lost three. Can offer a resilient 0-0 draw away at Newcastle. West Ham, when they're plus half a goal, 1-3, drawn one, lost six. Come off a 3-1 victory home to Leeds. Leicester, the journey won one of their last 15. Minus half a goal, 283 matches, 134 home, 140. Away. My rating suggesting value West Ham. So that just goes to show the ratings are now catching up with Leicester City. I think for Leicester, they're going to go down. I think, sacking Brendan Rodgers was not the best move, I don't think. I'm a little bit surprised that Leicester are going down, to be quite honest. I think that's more down to sort of name other than that. I think West Ham, I think they've had a poor league season, but obviously they're in the Europa Conference League final, and good luck to them.
Yeah, again, backtracking, I can't believe I'm on set of Alzheimer's here for me. Leeds, terrible season, but not really unexpected. Spurs, shambles, move on to next year. Leicester against West Ham. So the value is clearly with West Ham. They're going to have a good, I think it's 10 days they've got before that Europa Conference final or whatever. So they're going to, I would imagine they play a full strength side here. I can't see any advantage of them resting players unless any of them have got slight niggles. There's a lot of pressure on Leicester to win this game and hope the results at sort of Goodison Park go their way. When the sides met earlier this season, and I often look back at how teams play when they met each other earlier in the campaign, because it can often give a good sort of read through in terms of how teams do against opponents. Leicester won 2-0 at the London Stadium. And I know West Ham were in a different sort of mindset back then, but Leicester scored goals. And that is sort of the story of their season. Can they keep a clean sheet? When I've seen Leicester play in recent weeks, though, Pete, bar that backs to the wall performance at Newcastle, no. They can't keep a clean sheet. And this line of minus a half reflects the fact that Leicester need to win and an apparent belief that West Ham don't care. Well, I think West Ham do care. There's nothing about a David Moyes side to me that ever suggests if he picks a full strength side that the team are going to toss it off. And if Everton get an early goal at home to Bournemouth, Pete, I can see this game sort of dribbling out a little bit. I actually think this line should be priced near a scratch, to be honest. I think West Ham has some pretty decent value to avoid defeat here.
What do you reckon, assuming Leicester go down, what do you think next season? I personally think they should probably do a burn.
I would hope so, because I do have a little bit of a soft spot for Leicester. I think, this, like you say, this, the decision to sack Rodgers, I mean, I got one of two right, because I said this will be an horrendous sacking in the same way that I said Patrick Vieira at Palace would be. Didn't work out for Palace in terms of, you know, it was a good move for them. But for Leicester, you kind of looked at the players that Rodgers had, or that Leicester have, and you thought, well, there's only really a coach like Rodgers that could get the best out of them. At Palace, it was a bit different. They had sort of more sort of traditional, you know, head and kick it defenders that Hodgson could get sort of organised. Leicester is a bit different. You always sensed it would have to be a technical coach that came in, and that didn't really happen. I would hope Leicester would bounce straight back. It's been a bad season for them. West Ham, well, I don't really know what you can say. For many of my West Ham supporting friends who I, you know, worked with down in London, and they used to do my nutting about how great West Ham were when they haven't been for many years, I think they would take this season, every single season, Pete, coming 14th and getting to a noddy European final, they'd love it, because they are relatively realistic in terms of, you know, without masses of cash injection. They're not going to get into that top six on a consistent basis. These are the nights out that you love as a football fan when you go to a big final, even if it's the Europa Conference League. So, yeah, decent season for West Ham in reality. I know that a lot of their fans won't think that, but, yeah, wouldn't you take a European final with Peterborough, wouldn't you?
Well, EFL trophy.
Exactly, and that's what what you remember as you get older, those nights out. So, yeah, not bad for West Ham, in all honesty.
Manchester United, Fulham. Recent head-to-heads for United 1-1 has been one draw, Fulham not one. Minus one goal the handicap now. It was minus one and a quarter. It's now minus one. But obviously before these lines were put, you know, United hadn't quite qualified for the Champions League. United went minus one goal, 1-5 drawn, 4 lost, 1. Three of the five victories by two or more goals, coming off a comfortable 4-1 victory home to Chelsea. Fulham, when they're plus one goal, 1-3 drawn, 1 lost, 6. 4 of the 6 defeats were by two or more goals, coming off a 2-2 draw home to Palace. Manchester United, they've been winning at half-time, full-time in 7 of the last 10 home. Good value, Fulham. Murray suggesting minus one goal, 107 home, 70 push, 95 away, so 107 plays, 95. I say good value, Fulham. I wouldn't take that. I think, season wise, Manchester United, very, very good season. I think they're coming back now to their old selves. Fulham again, revelation. This is what they should have done two seasons ago.
Yeah, we wouldn't have lost so much money on them.
No. Well, I actually backed Fulham to finish in the top 10.
Yes, I remember that, and they were relegated. In my mind, Manchester United always seem to win the final home game of the season. And I don't know whether that's more a case of my childhood, seeing them win titles on glorious sunny afternoons at Old Trafford, rather than any sort of real statistical evidence of such of that perception being reality. But I do sense, as you quite rightly say, Pete, they are turning things around. Eric Ten Hag got real opportunity here to cement third spot. And I know, you know, it's not much of a difference third and fourth, but, you know, to say that you're the third best team behind Man City and Arsenal, I think will mean a lot to this group of players. And I think they'll be a little bit fired up about Mitrovic and co returning to Old Trafford. And when they've met in recent seasons, United have won 4, drawn 1 of the 5 meetings of the teams. They won 2-1 down on the banks of the Thames earlier this season. And now this line's trended down to just minus 1 from minus 1.25. I would definitely be leaning towards the home side. They do struggle at times to score goals. We all know that. They're not the most fluent of attacking sides. They're a little bit more functional than United teams of the past. But I do think United minus one is a decent bet here. And season long, as you say, Pete, United slowly turning it round. Eric Ten Hag, it's a big thing to turn a club like Manchester United around. A lot of expectation. Their form at Old Trafford has been immense, though. Goal difference of plus 25, 1-14 drawn, 3 lost, 1. So that is, any success for United has to be built on turning Old Trafford into a fortress. It always was under Fergie. And I think Ten Hag's moving them relatively quickly in the right direction. For Fulham, incredible season. Always loved Marco Silva as a coach. I think he's a very, very astute football man. And with a bit more investment, you never know, Pete. They could even kick on next season from 10th spot. I like watching Fulham play. So, yeah, good signs for the Cottagers.
Southampton, Liverpool, finally. Plus 1.5 goals here. Recent head-to-heads, not bad Southampton, really. They won 2. There's been 1 draw. Liverpool 1-4. When plus 1.5 goals, Southampton's record reads 1-1, lost 1. The 1 loss was by 2 or more goals. Come off a 3-1 defeat away at Brighton. Liverpool, when they're minus 1.5 goals, 1-4 drawn, 3 lost, 3. So that's not a great, you know, when minus 1.5 goals, 3 of the 4 by 2 or more goals come for 1-0 draw at home to Villa. Southampton, they've only won 1 of their last 9. Liverpool unbeaten in 10, plus 1.5 goals, 78 matches, 39 home, 39 away. No value in the line. As far as the season is concerned, Southampton, terrible. Liverpool, too little, too late. Really, I think they started the season well, fairly, you know, un-Liverpool. Like, they're now coming back, you know, to somewhat their best, but it'll be interesting to see what they do. Europa League, I fancy them to win that Europa League already, to be honest.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see in terms of how they cope with the Thursday night football, how it's embraced. I'm sure Liverpool fans will love a Thursday night at home and whacking a few sort of part-time teams. They're not part-time, but, you know, not the greatest set of opposition in that Europa League. And this is a dead rubber game for both teams. I think it's potentially the only game this weekend where neither team can change league position. So Liverpool are cemented in fifth. Southampton are anchored to the bottom of the table. So if you bet in this game, you probably have some issues, because in terms of motivation, wouldn't surprise me if we saw a lot of Liverpool youngsters given an opportunity this weekend. Klopp is known to do that in these sorts of games and in the, you know, the Carabao Cup games. You would expect if Southampton put a full side out and Liverpool didn't, so on this line, that Southampton will be competitive. But you have to try and gauge the atmosphere at St Mary's. It's going to be almost funereal. They are a proud club, and I sense we could be seeing them. I don't see them bouncing straight back, Pete. I think they've been that they're really going to struggle. And I would, from a Southampton perspective, I would just hope they'd be able to stabilise in the Championship next season. And I have to say, a little bit like the Leeds game, although the, you know, Leeds do have an opportunity to stay up, I could see Liverpool running out very comfortable winners here, Pete. And maybe the final 10 or 15 minutes of this game being played out in front of a nearly empty stadium. Wouldn't surprise me if Liverpool won this game by 3 or 4 clear goals.
Right.
Not that I'm going to be back in Liverpool minus one, that said, but it just has that feel of a game where the better team could run riot.
Right. Let's have a look at this. And I'm going to throw something at you after we've had a look at this.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to go Bournemouth plus 1.25 at Everton. I just feel, like you said, they hang around in games. And although Everton probably could win, I think Bournemouth offer great value there. Although I don't see any value in the line, I'm also going to go Villa minus 1.25 at home to Brighton, because I think they will want that European spot. And I think Brighton could possibly take the foot off the gas. And also, I'm going to go, although Brentford, you know, again, can qualify, that I just, Manchester City are not going to, you know, have a complete overhaul, I don't feel. They're going to still want to keep ticking along. And I thought they played very well while they were ticking along, at Brighton. I think they're good value minus 0.5 goal. Very rare, like you say, you see Manchester City minus 0.5 goal.
No. Yeah, so there's three games I like. I like Man City minus 0.5. I like Bournemouth plus 1.25. And I like West Ham plus 0.5. I think I'm just going to have the one bet there, and I'm going to stick with Man City. Man City minus 0.5. They win 71% of the away games. You're getting them here.
I think City were good value, plus 0.75 goal. Although I think Brentford are a good side, I just don't think they're not in the same calibre, are they?
They're not. You know? And it's all about atmosphere as well. Brentford, the home fans, it's a celebratory day out. They're entertaining the champions. They can't finish any lower than ninth in the league standings. And just coming from a perspective of being a Lincoln fan, like you're a Peterborough fan, Brentford were regular opponents.
Yeah.
30 years ago, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago in your case. And now they're cementing yet another Premier League season. Brentford supporters won't care if they like to win this game, but if they get beat, well, they should get beat because they're playing the champions. I don't think it will be any kind of hostile environment. And City, we know, no matter who they bring in, they'll be a class lineup. So, yeah, Man City minus 0.5 for me.
Still, we've got seven still big games as well. Games of interest, I would say, coming up. Obviously, Saturday, we've got Luton against Coventry. Any thoughts on that? I think it'll be a bruising encounter.
It certainly will. I like the team, as I've said possibly before on the podcast, or maybe just to you offline, the team spirit and the collective strength that Luton seem to be showing. I think Luton will get it done and will be walking over that mattress to get to the away end.
Yes,
of the Premier League. Incredible.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I'd like to see Luton just do it. I think they've been very good. The only thing is, though, what I would say, I think on their home pitch, they're very good. This is going to be a tough game, though. Like I say, it's going to be a bruising encounter. I was really impressed with Coventry at Middlesbrough. And good luck to both sides. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Then we have League 2, League 1, Sheffield Wednesday against Barnsley. This is on a Monday. Any thoughts on that?
Kind of fancy Barnsley. And I just think that there's a lot of pressure on Sheffield Wednesday. A lot of expectation, and I just think Barnsley will be able to go there, play a little bit more relaxed manner, and I think they'll probably get the job done, Barnsley.
Yeah, I hope Sheffield Wednesday go up. I've got no thoughts on either side. I just want Sheffield Wednesday to go up.
Okay. So you can go to Hillsborough?
No, that's no.
You never want to go to Hillsborough again.
No, yes. Yeah. Sunday, interesting one. Carlisle against Stockport. I'd like to see Carlisle do this, but that's going to be a tight game as well, isn't it?
Oh, this is my league, Peter. Two of the best managers in League Two, Paul Simpson's Carlisle facing off against Dave Challen and Stockport. I think Stockport have the better quality of players and Carlisle have the better level of organisation. And it's just how you factor all that into a Wembley day. Sometimes it's the better players that sort of shine on the bigger occasion, the more energy-sapping pitch that Wembley is. Or sometimes it's the team under pressure that are the better organised and minimise mistakes. Think I'm just going to lean to Paul Simpson's Carlisle.
Yeah, I thought Stockport did very well to get back in that game against Salford. You know, I just caught that, you know, on the Saturday afternoon. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, well, they were priced up as favourites to win the league at the beginning of the season. Quite hefty favourites, actually. They started the campaign relatively poorly. And then they were playing catch-up all season long. So after the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season, it would probably amaze some people that they made it into the playoffs in the first place. So, yeah, they've done very well, Stockport.
Man City Inter? City. European Cup final? I think City might win this comfortably, don't you?
Yes, definitely. The best side in Europe, best side we've seen. Yeah, can't see them not winning it, to be honest, Pete.
What about the Europa Cup? That looks a very interesting game, doesn't it? The Seville Roma game. I couldn't really call that. I personally would like Roma to win it, but I can see Seville's record in that is incredible, isn't it?
It is, but is it Jose? It's Jose, isn't it? He'll have a trophy, mate. I see Roma winning this.
And then obviously West Ham against Fiorentina. I hope West Ham win it.
I hope West Ham win it. Just got a feeling, though, Fiorentina will just be a little bit too good for them.
Isn't it interesting how usually British fans or English fans, we always never sort of want the team that's in the final, do we?
But I just think it's because you can give your mates a bit more stick. I mean, if I was working down in London, I'd have been buying a Laviola shirt, I think, for this one. But I wish them well and those who are going safe travels. But I just think Fiorentina are just a bit too good for them.
I'm not so sure there. I think I'd be a little bit if I was a West Ham supporter, I'd be disappointed not to win this, I think.
Okay.
But yes, so a good. We've had a reasonable season, I think. You know, it's had its ups and downs, hasn't it? We had good World Cup. Well, we both had a winning World Cup, and you predicted a 2-2 draw and whatever. Amazing,
incredible scenes. I just thought it was going to be one of those games with quite a few goals, so I pulled one out of the bag at the last. But it's been another great season, Pete. Love recording these.
Yes, we shall.
Well, a lot of fun, and I forgot to say at the beginning, we met up last Saturday, didn't we?
Yes, we did, yeah.
Face to face.
Yeah, what we'll do, we'll have a meeting before the season starts in August and decide what we're going to do for next season. Obviously, I think it will be sort of similar. There won't be any great sort of differences. But yes, thanks for listening, and I hope you have a very good summer.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Love doing this for you. Love the interactions all around the world. We've got a really good, loyal listener base now. So one final time, best of luck, everybody.